Today is the 29th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to be here with you today as we gather yet again around the global campfire and move forward together on our journey through the scriptures this year. And our journey will lead us back into the book of 2 Samuel, where we have been camping out and moving our way through as we learn of the reign of King David. David has made mostly right moves from a good heart and good character, but he's also made a really bad maneuver in taking another man's wife, Bathsheba, and having her husband killed to cover it up, which creates a lot of unrest in David's family. And so David's daughter has been raped by her brother Amnon, and Amnon has subsequently been killed by his brother Absalom, and Absalom has been sent away from Jerusalem back to his grandparents. And so let's pick up the story. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1 through 15, verse 22 today. Joab realized how much the king longed to see Absalom. So he sent for a woman from Tekoa who had a reputation for great wisdom. He said to her, "Pretend you are in mourning. Wear mourning clothes and don't put on lotions. Act like a woman who has been mourning for the dead for a long time. Then go to the king and tell him the story I am about to tell you." And Joab told her what to say. When the woman from Tekoa approached the king, she bowed with her face to the ground in deep respect and cried out, "O king, help me." "What's the trouble?" the king asked. "Alas, I am a widow," she replied. "My husband is dead. My two sons had a fight out in the field, and since no one was there to stop it, one of them was killed. Now the rest of the family is demanding, 'Let us have your son. We will execute him for murdering his brother. He doesn't deserve to inherit his family's property. They want to extinguish the only coal I have left, and my husband's name and family will disappear from the face of the earth.'" "Leave it to me," the king told her. "Go home and I'll see to it that no one touches him." "Oh, thank you, my lord the king," the woman from Tekoa replied. "If you are criticized for helping me, let the blame fall on me and on my father's house, and let the king and his throne be innocent." "If anyone objects," the king said, "bring him to me. I can assure you he will never harm you again." Then she said, "Please swear to me by the Lord your God that you won't let anyone take vengeance against my son. I want no more bloodshed." "As surely as the Lord lives," he replied, "not a hair on your son's head will be disturbed." "Please allow me to ask one more thing of my lord the king," she said. "Go ahead and speak," he responded. She replied, "Why don't you do as much for the people of God as you have promised to do for me? You have convicted yourself in making this decision because you have refused to bring home your own banished son. All of us must die eventually. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God does not just sweep life away. Instead, he devises ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him. I have come to plead with my lord the king because people have threatened me. I said to myself, perhaps the king will listen to me and rescue us from those who would cut us off from the inheritance God has given us. Yes, my lord the king will give us peace of mind again. I know that you are like an angel of God in discerning good from evil. May the Lord your God be with you."
"I must know one thing," the king replied, "and tell me the truth."
"Yes, my lord the king," she responded.
"Did Joab put you up to this?" And the woman replied,
"My lord the king, how can I deny it? Nobody can hide anything from you. Yes,
Joab sent me and told me what to say. He did it to place the matter before you in a different light. But you are as wise as an angel of God, and you understand everything that happens among us." So the king sent for Joab and told him, "All right, go and bring back the young man Absalom." Joab bowed with his face to the ground in deep respect and said, "At last, I know that I have gained your approval, my lord the king, for you have granted me this request." Then Joab went to Geshur and brought Absalom back to Jerusalem. But the king gave this order: "Absalom may go to his own house, but he must never come into my presence." So Absalom did not see the king. Now Absalom was praised as the most handsome man in all Israel. He was flawless from head to foot. He cut his hair only once a year, and then only because it was so heavy. When he weighed it out, it came to 5 pounds. He had 3 sons and 1 daughter. His daughter's name was Tamar, and she was very beautiful. Absalom lived in Jerusalem for 2 years, but he never got to see the king. Then Absalom sent for Joab to ask him to intercede for him, but Joab refused to come. Absalom sent for him a second time, but again, Joab refused to come. So Absalom said to his servants, "Go and set fire to Joab's barley field, the field next to mine." So they set his field on fire, as Absalom had commanded. Then Joab came to Absalom at his house and demanded, "Why did your servant set my field on fire?" And Absalom replied, "Because I wanted you to ask the king why he brought me back from Geshur. If he didn't intend to see me, I might as well have stayed there. Let me see the king. If he finds me guilty of anything, then let him kill me." So Joab told the king what Absalom had said. And at last David summoned Absalom, who came and bowed low before the king, and the king kissed him. After this, Absalom bought a chariot and horses, and he hired 50 bodyguards to run ahead of him. He got up early every morning and went out to the gate of the city. When people brought a case to the king for judgment, Absalom would ask where in Israel they were from, and they would tell him their tribe. Then Absalom would say, "You've really got a strong case here. It's too bad the king doesn't have anyone to hear it. I wish I were the judge. Then everyone could bring their cases to me for judgment, and I would give them justice." When people tried to bow before him, Absalom wouldn't let them. Instead, he took them by the hand and kissed them. Absalom did this with everyone who came to the king for judgment, and so he stole the hearts of all the people of Israel. After 4 years, Absalom said to the king, "Let me go to Hebron to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill a vow I made to him. For while your servant was at Geshur and Aram, I promised a sacrifice to the Lord in Hebron if he would bring me back to Jerusalem." "All right," the king told him, "go and fulfill your vow." So Absalom went to Hebron, but while he was there, he sent secret messengers to all the tribes of Israel to stir up a rebellion against the king. "As soon as you hear the ram's horn," his message read, "you are to say, 'Absalom has been crowned king in Hebron.'" He took 200 men from Jerusalem with him as guests, but they knew nothing of his intentions. While Absalom was offering the sacrifices, he sent for Ahithophel, one of David's counselors who lived in Gilo. Soon, many others also joined Absalom, and the conspiracy gained momentum. A messenger soon arrived in Jerusalem to tell David, "All Israel has joined Absalom in a conspiracy against you. Then we must flee at once, or it will be too late," David urged his men. "Hurry. If we can get out of the city before Absalom arrives, both we and the city of Jerusalem will be spared from disaster." "We are with you," his advisors replied. "Do what you think is best." So the king and all his household set out at once. He left no one behind except 10 of his concubines to look after the palace. The king and all his people set out on foot, pausing at the last house to let all the king's men move past to lead the way. There were 600 men from Gath who had come with David, along with the king's bodyguard. Then the king turned and said to Ittai, a leader of the men from Gath, "Why are you coming with us? Go on back to King Absalom, for you are a guest in Israel, a foreigner in exile. You arrived only recently, and should I force you today to wander with us? I don't even know where we will go. Go on back and take your kinsmen with you, and may the Lord show you his unfailing love and faithfulness." But Ittai said to the king, "I vow by the Lord and by your own life that I will go wherever my lord the king goes, no matter what happens, whether it means life or death." David replied, "All right, come with us." So Ittai and all his men and their families went along. John 18, 1 through 24. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet them. "Who are you looking for?" he asked. "Jesus the Nazarene," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, "I am he," they all drew back and fell to the ground. Once more he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And again they replied, "Jesus the Nazarene." "I told you that I am he," Jesus said. "And since I am the one you want, let these others go." He did this to fulfill his own statement. "I did not lose a single one of those you have given me." Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their commanding officer, and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. First, they took him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at that time. Caiaphas was the one who had told the other Jewish leaders, "It's better that one man should die for the people." Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. That other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching at the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, "You're not one of that man's disciples, are you?" "No," he said, "I am not." Because it was cold, the household servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire. They stood around it, warming themselves, and Peter stood with them, warming himself. Inside, the high priest began asking Jesus about his followers and what he had been teaching them. Jesus replied, "Everyone knows what I teach. I have preached regularly in the synagogues and the temple where the people gather. I have not spoken in secret. Why are you asking me this question? Ask those who heard me. They know what I said." Then one of the temple guards standing nearby slapped Jesus across the face. "Is that the way to answer the high priest?" he demanded. Jesus replied, "If I said anything wrong, you must prove it. But if I'm speaking the truth, why are you beating me?" Then Annas bound Jesus and sent him to Caiaphas, the high priest. Psalm 119, 97 through 112. Mem. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path, so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. None. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I've promised it once and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end. Proverbs 16, 8 and 9. Better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Okay, so the erosion in the king's family, King David's family, is on full display. We watched David running for his life from King Saul. We watched him holding on to God for his next breath. We watched his integrity grow. We watched the people's hearts turn toward him because they were seeing his character shine through as a leader, that he truly loved the people, that he truly loved God. And God blessed, and a national identity was established under David's rule, a palace for the king, a capital city. And then David saw a beautiful woman that he wanted that belonged to someone else. And the aftermath was pregnancy and loss of a baby, the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah, and then repercussions in his own family, the rape of his daughter Tamar by her brother Amnon, and then another brother Absalom taking out his revenge on Amnon by killing him for raping his sister, and then Absalom was exiled away from Jerusalem to Geshur to his grandparents and kept away from the king. And then finally, Absalom comes back, but he can't see the king, and he goes about the business of stealing the hearts of the Israelites away from the king. And so now what we have is Absalom has gone to Hebron and is declaring himself king, and a revolt, a coup, is underway. David has gotten word about this. All of his instincts kick in. He knows what it's like to be on the run and fighting to stay alive. So he sees the writing on the wall, and so he has to leave the palace, gather some kind of bodyguard and get like some little semblance of government together and get out of there. Otherwise, Absalom will come with his troops and there will be civil war going on in the holy city of Jerusalem, the capital city. And so David is back on the run again. He was given rest. He was given blessing. He was made the king. And now he's back on the run again. And we can look at this and we have to appreciate the impact that has happened in the reign of King David, because of the choices that he made. We watched a tremendous offense grow between Absalom and David over the course of years, and it's led to war. If we want to step back and allow the scriptures to read us and try to apply this to our lives, then we have to look at the offenses that we've allowed to fester over long periods of time. We have to look at the things that have become poison in our relationships, because we already know where the road goes. Like, the bonds that bound us in relationship become frayed and broken and can turn to the opposite of relationship, which is non-relationship, which is war with each other, animosity toward one another. We're seeing this happen to King David and his kingdom, but it is the same for us. And everybody does make mistakes. There is no perfect one outside of our Savior. And we have an example of that. But we fall short. We are human beings. We fall short a lot more than we even acknowledge. We give ourselves a lot of grace, but we make a lot of mistakes. And some of them are small, and some of them are big. But there is a repercussion for the choices that we make. And some of those can be devastating. But even when things are absolutely blown apart and broken, we still are making decisions each and every day to move through the day. And so we either reinforce the battle lines, we bring more ammunition to create more evil, or we find a way to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and repent. Which doesn't mean everything gets fixed all of the sudden, but humility and hope for grace and a heart of repentance, these can be miracles in relationships. So let's look at what's happening to David and look into our own lives for parallels, and probably we don't have the same kind of parallels. The kind of stuff that David's got himself into are pretty big things, but the principles remain. We'll continue this story as we continue to move forward through the scriptures, and we will see that the animosity that has risen between Absalom and his father David, Absalom's total disdain and disrespect and near hatred for his father, is going to cause a lot of pain. May we learn from this example. Father, we invite you into that. And as we were just saying, most of us don't have stories like King David, but we all have stories, and they're human stories. And most of our stories involve interaction and relationship with other people in some sort of way. And we have done well and we've done poorly in the choices that we've made about the relationships that we've had. And so we first humble ourselves before you and ask your Holy Spirit to show us the way that we should go and how to be a part of your story of redemption, rather than just continuing to draw battle lines for bloodshed and more devastation in our hearts and in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Come, Holy Spirit, show us the way to go. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. That's the website. That's where you can find out what's going on around here. And so certainly do that. If you don't have the Daily Audio Bible app, you can download that free from whatever app store is connected to your smart device. So look for that. And check out the different sections. Check out the community section where the prayer wall lives. Resources that are available in the Daily Audio Bible shop for taking the journey deeper and wider as we move through the scriptures. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God, read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody who will encounter it anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, that anyone might have the opportunity to hear the words of life, no matter where they are in life and no matter where they are on this planet, and to build community, to build a place that we can show up for each other every day and take the next step forward together. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you humbly and deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is AJ here. Stay fit is what I go by. That is not a gym reference. That is a reference to daily that we pray, daily that we read His Word, and daily fellowship. It's just something that I stand by. Man, I tell you what, the Daily Audio Bible, so highlighted version, I discovered the one-year Bible somewhere around January, I don't know, 23rd. I downloaded a print-off of the Daily Audio Bible, or I'm sorry, the one-year Bible on the 25th. And as I was really conversing about that, as a coworker had showed me this, and was excited about it, but at the same time, really busy with work, really busy with things that were going on. He had introduced me to the Daily Audio Bible. And I will be honest with you, it was definitely life-changing. It is exciting, getting to know everybody. I will say I am behind. I've been trying not to miss out. I downloaded the app on, I believe, the 15th of March, and I started from March 1st, and started just listening to the DAB, and started listening to the prayer request, started listening to Brian, and was just blessed. I have fallen in love with you guys, and so whether you like it or not, you are stuck with me.
My Father, I thank you so much for the family of God, the reunions that you provide, mostly the union with you and your spirit when we surrender. Thank you so much for just your word and making yourself known to us as we seek you and your righteousness and your kingdom. I thank you, especially today, I was thinking and praying for, so grateful for Jamie from New Jersey's prayers. And then he came on and shared his testimonies and a prayer request, the first time I can remember him sharing a prayer request since I've joined. And I was very touched by his testimony. And Heavenly Father, I just thank you that when we delight in you, you will give us the desires of our hearts. And if they're wrong desires, you'll take them away. So you've given Jamie a desire for a wife again, and he's been faithful to you. And I just thank you that you are the best until you provide someone. And Lord, in your mysterious ways, comfort him, guide him. And surprise him. Surprise him with community and that special one. And help him to wait on you. Help us all, to those of us that are lonely and have been divorced for a while, help us to wait on you and trust you and let you fill in that missing piece. So Jamie, thank you. Especially your prayers are always so right on scripture and I'm just sending you a huge hug from the West Coast and from someone who understands a bit of being the outside of a family and how things can change so quickly, but it draws us.
This is Ms. Van from Virginia. It is May 25th, exactly 13 years today. I was sitting in a nail salon and I received this call from my husband saying, come home now. And I was disturbed and asked him what was the matter. He said the police had called saying our son had been in a horrific accident. So as I left, I called my sister and asked her to pray with me that our son was okay. But as I was driving home, I knew that he was not okay. As I arrived home, that knowing became reality when we heard the words that he was killed in a horrific accident. And no words could describe the pain, the utter pain that I felt, that I was in the midst of darkness and I felt that there would never be light. I felt like I never wanted to live again. Each morning I awake, I was disappointed. I felt like I would never laugh. I felt our family would be broken. But today I stand 13 years later knowing that the God of all mercies and the God of all comfort is able to restore individuals who are going through the same thing that I have went through myself. I say this to each man, each woman who have lost a son or a daughter, that God is able to restore us, that we are truly laughing and learning to live in the absence of our son. And each memory now is a treasure to us, and some bring triggers that hurt and bring sorrow, but God continues to restore us and bring comfort. I pray that this have encouraged you and that you have heard my heart through this testimony. And I just love you and thank God that he is who he says he is. Love you.
Greetings to you, Daily Audio Bible. I started out with Daily Audio Bible about 4 years ago now. This is Walking in the Light in Tennessee. And I've been listening to Daily Audio Bible Chronological and have been trying to flip back and forth, listening to both. Haven't listened to Children's DAB in a while. I love it, though, because I love Ezekiel. He's just so sweet. But I just wanted to say how much I love this family. And I came over to encourage, to let you know that through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have all come. But grace has brought us safe this far, and grace will bring us home. Fight for your joy. Fight for your strength. Love one another. I'm not talking to you from a place of perfection or certainly a place of no pain. I've had many losses, heartaches, headaches, many things that I've endured in my life over the past year. But God is so faithful. And it amazes me sometimes how he restores my soul and my spirit. So I stopped in to encourage and to say I love you all. And stay with God. The joy of the Lord truly is your strength. And be faithful. Just look for light in every darkness. Look for light and you'll find light, for Jesus is love and his love brings light. Have mercy. Have a blessed day. Walking in the light in Tennessee. I love you all. God bless.